Living for today with an eye for tomorrow. This is the Voice of Vision broadcast.
I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior, for He is good. For He is good. I will rejoice.
Now, here's our teacher, Pastor J.D. Hatfield.
Well, hello there, friends. Once again, this is Pastor J.D. Hatfield of the Riverside Christian Fellowship in Hernando, Florida. As always, you can find us on the web at voiceofvision.org. We're so very thankful for all the people that come over there every day and to see us from sermon audio and all that. And perhaps some of you are people that have heard some of our Voice of Vision radio on sermon audio, and then you found your way to voiceofvision.org, and you see the text right there on the front page, like today's, Stop the Worship? With a question mark. Stop the Worship? If you miss any of these days, you want to see the text of it, hit Daily Blog, and then you're going to be able to see all the archives right there, and there's labels, and there's search engines, and titles, and all that. And if you want to see the text copy, and you can leave comments right there at the blog. Otherwise, if you want to hear the archives, obviously, if you're on Sermon Audio, you can do that. But from voiceofvision.org, you can too. You hit Sermons, and when you get to that page, there will be a filter there that you can hit Radio. It'll say Event, and you can hit Radio or the Sermons right there. You can email me, Pastor JD at voiceofvision.org. And if you'd like to support this broadcast, just send us an email, leave your email. We'd appreciate that. But in any event, we hope that these programs are helping you to grow. And yesterday, the last broadcast, we did Not Here, Not Now, Here's Why, which was one of what I like to do every once in a while, one of those times where there was a teachable moment in the worship service or in the, the sermon, however you want to look at that, during the church service where I used what was going on as a teachable moment. And today that's what we're going to talk about as well. And this one might shock you a little bit, but I want you to think about it. And it's not something that goes on all the time. And from time to time, we will give you some of these little nuggets, these little pastoral wisdoms, as it were, and things that I've gleaned and things that have happened to me and things that I try to relate biblically and try to give you a little glimpse into the life of a pastor. And other pastors might be able to chime in and leave comments on the blog, or they might, and they have before, of course, and they may want to email me, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org, and correct me or help me, or we can help each other. And it can help other people to see some things that I think are good, because, it takes a lot of work to be able to help shepherd people. And, you got that shepherd's crook there, and part of it is to guide around, and part of it's to beat away, you keep them from out of the, from trouble and all of that. And again, as a shepherd, you're not just supposed to, wait till the wolves get over the hill. You're supposed to go out over the hill and beat them back, keep them from the sheep and all that. And there's some interesting things that happen in churches, and you have to use an iron hand with a kid glove, as it were. You have to be careful. You don't want to hurt people's feelings, but you don't want them to just go on their feelings. You want them to develop more than that. In John 4:22, Jesus was talking at the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman, and he says, "You worship what you do not know." He's not saying she didn't worship, that she didn't feel it, that she didn't love or anything like that. She might love her neighbor and all these other things, and, well, we know the story there, but I wanted to relate this to something about pastors need to do. And they always need to be talking to the song leaders about the balance of what they're doing in the worship service. And, Easter Sunday can be different than, let's say during Christmas time, or you might have special music here and there, and there's a lot of things. Or you might be one of those instruments-only church, no instruments church, and just congregational singing and all that. But in a lot of charismatic type of churches, they call them worship leaders. And I really don't like that term. I understand it, but you're not leading anybody into worship. They're already there. They can come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in time of need. And they brought the Holy Spirit with them because He resides in them. And to lead them in worship, it puts you on a pedestal you shouldn't be. You should be more humble than that and consider yourself a song leader. And that's just my own little personal peccadillo. But you got to be talking to your song leaders out there, pastors. And if you lead in music, you're the minister of music at your church, you should be definitely talking to your pastor. It's not that they have to say, "This is exactly what I want you to play," but if they've got a leading, you've got to be listening to them. We should review the songs in the rotation and look together at new songs that people want to bring in. In this way, you can use these times as teachable moments. You can teach your song leaders, the people that are in leadership in that sense, and ministers of music and all that, and maybe it's an associate pastor that's doing it, or your wife playing the piano, whatever it is, you can go through the songs and say, let's talk about the theology of this and make them understand why it's so important. And if you're out there listening now and you're not knowing that, you should get in on this idea here. Now, indeed, we should have feelings and responses because of God's grace, but we need more thou art and less I will in the songs. God entrance and not man entrance. It's not just I'm going to do this and I will worship you with all my heart. I will do this. I will do that. There's some of that, you know, proper devotion, no doubt, but it should be, you know, mixed and heavily predicated upon the fact of who God is. It's not just what God does, it's who He is. If it's just what you think He does, He's going to let you down, even though He doesn't let you down. You'll think that. Now, sometimes songs can slip by you, or they can slip by a congregation without anybody really focusing on what's actually being taught. Congregational singing is more than stirring up feelings. It's teaching each other in song. You know, making melody in your hearts towards the Lord. You know what Ephesians 5 says. You know, teaching one another in song. It's important. Albeit for reasons that are sometimes lost on worship leaders. And I don't want to badmouth all these worship leaders and all that and get a bunch of letters. I understand it's a really hard thing to do, but we need to work together. And it should be more about doctrinal-led devotion. Oh, boy, there's that dry word. It's not dry, friends. It's just like I tell people in our congregation and at the nursing home, you know, the old songs, old rugged cross, power in the blood, and those songs like that. And, you know, even the older hymns, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God and things like that, they are not dry. We just need to breathe life into them. We can use new arrangements with the same words or the old arrangements and the old words and the old 4-4 time. We just need to get into it. We need to enter in. But again, in any event, it should be more about doctrinal-led devotion than simply proclaiming our increasing love for a God we aren't increasing in our knowledge of. It isn't how much more I feel Him means how much more I love Him, but how much more I know Him. And then this would produce the proper devotion. We more often than not get the order reversed and think we're growing deeper in our love for Him when we're actually growing colder, even as our feelings burn hot. Did you ever think about the fact in the pastoral epistles of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, Paul talks about doctrine and doctrine and doctrine over and over and over again, yet he doesn't say, and now make sure you have a kickin' praise band. Doesn't say that, does he? Why? Because when you have your doctrine right, the devotion will follow. And if the devotion's not right, then the doctrine's not right. It does lead to that. You should have exalting exaltation. I think John Piper coined that term. And it should be, you know, and raising of the hands and all that. We could go into all that, but it's not just merely feelings. It comes on the heels of proper understanding. It's like when you really understand what the resurrection means. Boy, it changes your entire life. It matters more than just some dry, dusty doctrine. It's really something to you. But we say, okay, yeah, I get it. Now just give me the 7-11s, the 7 words 11 times in a row. It isn't how much I feel Him more. It's how much I know Him more. Again, we get the order reversed, and we think we're growing deeper in our love, but we're growing even more biblically illiterate as our feelings might burn hot. Now, getting to the scenario that I was talking about, I've literally stopped the worship more than once, you know, quote-unquote stopped the worship. Actually, I just stopped the music and singing and focused our worship on some truth I was absolutely sure we needed to hear most clearly as we sang it. And that's not something I do a lot. I can't remember the last time I did it. But I remember this time. It was during the song Unfailing Love that I stopped the music and went over to the screen and pointed out the lyrics and something I wanted to make sure people noticed. And you know what? They didn't understand that. And when I did it, they really appreciated it. But some people were like, but you're messing with my flow. And, you know, I kind of sometimes want to do it. The lyrics were, praise you, God of earth and sky, how beautiful is your unfailing love, and you never change, Lord. You remain the Holy One and my unfailing love. Now, from these lyrics, I showed that they teach correctly that His unfailing love is grounded in His holiness. You never change. You remain the Holy One. And so, therefore, He remains unfailing in His love. It's not about us saying, my unfailing love, my love doesn't fail. It does fail, friends. It's Jesus that doesn't fail. Thank God. Again, praise you, God of earth and sky. How beautiful is your unfailing love. unfailing love. And you never change, Lord. You remain the Holy One and my unfailing love, unfailing love. But that means my unfailing love is Him. And I'm not sure whether the author intended it this way, but it was good to point out considering the sermon of the day that we were using, or really any day nonetheless. His love is grounded in His holiness, not in our faithfulness. Even when we're unfaithful, He's faithful. Now, I'm making these points here, and you're going, yes, I understand that, but right in the middle of a service? Sometimes, yes. You shouldn't be looking to do that necessarily, but sometimes these things happen. And His holiness is that from which His love springs, not vice versa. Did you hear me? His holiness is the fountain of His love, not vice versa. I'm not sure whether or not, again, the author intended it that way, but it was good to do then. And I used the stoppage purposefully to stop people from just going with the flow. The atmosphere was starting to get moving, and not necessarily in a bad way. But I wanted to make sure people don't always equate this everybody's into it thing with now we're really worshiping. And even ministers that I've known, even in our church, I've had to, you know, I'm not trying to make them lose their faith. I'm trying to get them to redirect their faith to the right object. And the object is not their feelings. The object is the truth, the way, the life, Jesus Christ. And we think we're doing that, and most of the time we probably are. Don't mean to badmouth anybody, but sometimes we need a good shaking up to be waking up. You know what I mean? Again, so many people equate the everybody's into it thing with now we're really worshiping. I pointed out that we shouldn't bristle at someone, something, or some event stopping our flow. Oh, but I was really into it. You can pick it right back up, my friend. I asked if anyone was thinking like that, I was just getting into it, man, and how their focus would be wrong. Well, no, sir, you were just feeling it, but God was already here to be worshipped. You must renew your mind to that fact that feelings are a byproduct of worship, not the conduit of them. Feelings aren't the way into His presence, as if we simply stir up our emotions by repeating some vague chorus over and over, and then poof, God is there. No. It can happen concomitantly, at the same time, simultaneously. I get that. But too often, we never grow up because all we have to do is do a little switch there and then we're on. There's no reason to dig any deeper in the Scriptures. There's no reason to know God any better. There's no reason to look at the principles of God. And we get confused. And why is it? Because all we ever had to do was turn on a light switch and we think, woo, we're there. In a sense, we are. But it's not supposed to be our feelings that are leading us there. No. Well, I can just imagine myself getting emails on this one. And again, PastorJD@voiceofvision.org. Be glad to talk to you. You can go onto the blog and leave comments on this one. Now, was I wrong to stop the singing? No, not at all. It was a good demonstration of the fact that if this hindered your worship, then you're worshiping at the altar of your own feelings. Again, I'm just going to say all that over again, in a sense. You know, if you're just thinking, I'm just getting into it, man. Come on, what's going on here? You know, you're looking for the wrong thing. I like good feelings and goosebumps and all that. I understand that. But if something happens and it just destroys your worship, then you might be thinking the wrong thing. You might be worshiping at the altar of your own feelings. I'm not against feelings. We should have affections for God. But as the old Puritan said, we need light and heat, truth and emotion. Well, that's all the time I have before they stop the program here. We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast. You go out there and worship God with your body, your mind, your heart and soul, and all of it. God will be pleased. This is J.D. Hatfield for the Voice of Vision broadcast. We'll see you next time. God bless you.
Oh yes, I'm glad to know my life is hid with Jesus, and that's where I'm always gonna be, right here at the right hand of the Father of life.
We'll see you next time on the Voice of Vision broadcast, where we are living for today with an eye for tomorrow.
And reveling with God eternally.